Corruption, Iron Sign. Okay, so let's take a look. We see a combination of a few different things here. We look at three of the big day kahuna in the context of the Malbim, but not using the Malbim's parish on those things, just the Malbim's Hakdama, his introduction. Let's take a look at that first Malbim. Let's read it. It says, Lo Nishalon Olak Ladas.
Is this introduction to the Parsha?
This is his introduction, what he called the Parsha Tetzaveh. In other words, in Parshas, with Parshas Truma, we have the Binyan HaKelim. In Parshas Tetzaveh, we have the Big Day Kahuna. We have the Big Day Kahuna. And in between, or should I say, at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, before we get to the Big Day Kahuna, there is the discussion of taking the Shemen Zayas for the menorah. Right? Then, if you look at the very beginning of the parsha, the first thing that's discussed is Shemen Zayas. Taking Shemen Zayas for the menorah. Vatat Tetzaveh. Right? Vatat Tetzaveh. El Bnei Yisrael v'yikhoi lecha. Shemen Zayas Zach. Kasis l'ma'or l'alos ner tamid. Ba'ol moig michutz l'parochas asher l'adus yaroch osa aron v'anav me'er v'ad boker l'kne Hashem chukas olom ador. Some eis Bnei Yisrael. And you shall command the Jewish people, and they should take to you, v'yikhoi lecha. That's a discussion in its own right. Shem and Zayizach, the pure oil. Kasis, especially you record, crushed lava or to be used for light, for the cave of the menorah. Laalos, near tummy to, so there should be a near tummy always in the Mishkan. The old moid, michutz haparoches, and the old moid, outside the parochas, shalai edus, which covers over the edus, etc., the luchos, which are inside the aron, yarach, also aron of one of the erev at boker, the fnei Hashem, chukas, alom, the dorosami, eis bnei Yisrael. So there's a discussion of lighting the menorah. Right. So now, it says, lo nishalano, says the Malbim, lo nishalano ladas, lama yipsik betzivu izeh bein maitha mishkon vekelav, ben maase big tikuna. Why is it there all of a sudden in the middle between the parsha of the Mishkan and parsha's Truma, and before we start talking about the big tikuna, all of a sudden it's time out for a station break, and we're talking about the oil for the menorah?
It's interesting. You know, when they talk about the shulchan in parsha's Truma,
mm-hmm.
So it finishes up by saying that you should put the lachem tonic there. But when it talks about the menorah, it doesn't tell you what you're supposed to do with the menorah.
Right. It's only really the shulchan, back there in Truma, where they talk about the stuff that appears upon it. Yes, right. You're right.
What does that have to do with? Why are they talking about the menorah now?
So, well, because that's what we're talking about, the oil for the menorah,
so
right?
Does it have to do with lechem and panim?
No, this Dov was just mentioning, in contrast to, I mean, here they're talking about what's going to go on the menorah. When we read about the menorah in Truma, it didn't discuss about putting the oil, as opposed to the lechem apanim, as opposed to shulchan. There, it talked about the lechem apanim on the shulchan. Okay, but we'll get lost in that. But you're right; that's really cool. That definitely is a topic. So he says here, the ki'ilu hu hakdama. It appears that it's the hakdama, it's an introduction, lemleches habegadim, the kodmos aleihem. It appears that this discussion of the oil for the menorah is a hakdama, is an introduction to the big day kahuna. The chenua emes shelfimashi nevayar sheikut tzivu levishes abegorim amekudashim yirmos altaras hamidos vahadeos. Since Rico, he said that in fact is true. Since we discussed, and that's the derech of the Malbim in all of his rimzei big day kahuna. Well, it's based upon the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara says that each of the begadim was coming to be mechaper, to uplift or to cleanse away some deficiency that there might exist either in deos, in a person's perception of the world, his dea, his perception of reality, or his nidos, or the way that he conducts himself. So, for instance, all of the big day kahuna are there, as it were, to uplift and to rectify issues either in the world of deos, perception of reality, or in midos, in the way that one conducts oneself. Like, for instance, the mitznefes, the mitre, that was there to combat gasos haruach, that a person shouldn't be a balgaiva. The tzitz upon the forehead is coming to combat azus hametzach, brazenness in one's conduct. The ekstonis is to be mechaper on shvichus damim, Shvichus Damim, the Ephod on Avodah Zarah, right? The Me'il, did that backwards, right? On Lashon Hara, Choshen Mishpat on Ivus Adin, right? The Mechnasayim on Gidarayas, the Avnet on Hirhuri Aveira, etc. Right, so that's really cool. They're all coming to cleanse, as it were, to uplift the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen for four begotim, and the Kohen Gadol for all eight begotim.
What's the reality? What's the perception of reality? Because you see some Kohen dressed up in funny clothes. That's reality.
No. The eight. Okay, let's stay calm. We'll hand out the volume later.
Okay.
We call it the Ephod is mechapen on Avodah Zarah. That's not a concern in Midos. It's a concern in Deos, right? Ivus Hadin, right? The twisting of Din, right? Is also not necessarily the error in Din is also not necessarily a chisorn in Midos. It's a chisorn in what we call the proper perception of reality.
Outlook, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
How do you think that works? If it was something magical, you just looked at it.
Chas v'shulay.
Something that you just looked at.
Magic is the wrong word.
Something you were lacking all of a sudden came upon you.
These begotim, as it were. Well, hopefully, if I can continue on to the next line, so what it costs, so that we might be able to actually understand this. But these begotim, they were invested. Right, when they were made, it was an investment of Ruach HaKodesh inside of them.
Right.
And just like there are moments in time, there are moments in time that are particularly misugal, fitting for achieving certain things, in terms of tefillah, right? And you can always daven, just like you can always correct your midos. But so too also these begadim, being made the Ruach HaKodesh, being made the way that Hashem says to make them, when they were worn by the Kohen Gadol under the circumstances he's meant to wear, they helped him. They helped him record in the effect. They helped cleanse it. They helped cleanse it. Mechaper. Like a korban is mechaper, Chazal say, that just like the korbanos are mechaper, so too the big dekun are mechaper. They cleanse. V'cheni ba'emes, lefi ma shenivar she'ikot tzivu levi shezav begodim ha'mkudashim yomos ha'taras ha'midos v'adeos she'im bigdei ha'nefesh. Oh, he says over here that the wearing of these begodim, these sanctified begodim, is to be merames to us what taras ha'midos v'adeos she'im bigdei ha'nefesh. These are the big day hanefesh. They are the clothing of the nefesh. And a person's conduct, he conducts himself in this world. Those are the begadim to his nefesh. They are the clothing to his nefesh. The clothing to his nefesh. Your midos are the clothing to your internal nefesh. Just like your guf is the clothing to your nefesh on that level, so too the midos are the outer clothing, the way that you demonstrate what's cooking inside of you. You have to, as it were, join together. That he's coming to answer the question once again: why is it we started off the intro, the prologue to the discussion of Bikdiguna starts off with the shemen lamor? You have to be mitzaref that holy shemen. Kosher kosher. B'chol eis yu begadecha levonim. The shemen al roshcha al yechsar. Pasuk says in Koheles that a person should always be concerned that his begadim, that his vestments should be white. In other words, without stain. We're not just talking about here that you don't have grease on it. And we're talking about that your conduct on the outside should be white. Your conduct, your begadim. Mad, like he says, I don't know if you remember, he says it over here, but he says that the word mida, like midos, is from the word mad. Mad means beged.
Mud.
No, beged. Beged, right? Valava shakoin midovad, right? Midovad. He wore a linen cloak, midovad.
Bad or mad?
Bad. Bad.
Bad.
Oh, mad. No, bad. I'm sorry. Mido. Mad. I'm sorry. Mido. Mad. Mad.
Sure.
Mad. Okay? So it says, yeah. And it says, but at the end of the pasuk, the shemen al roshcha al yechzar, you shouldn't be missing the shemen. Shemen always is what attaches you to a higher system. Shemen always floats to the top. Oil always floats to the top. Vishrot alomer she big de hanefesh she midos of utchulos of you levanim b'chol mikol chola v'shimtza. There shouldn't be anything inappropriate in what he called foul upon the, you know, in conduct of the what he called the midos. The shemen al yechzar me'al rosho, and there should always be the shemen from above your head. Vizel Kumosha Kosov, the Black Pasak in Kwellas, Vizel Kumosha Kosov, Abelitz, yeah, Radrashi, a Torah of Adam Chiburim who ne'er lokim ba'aretz. The Torah and the person, their attachment, creates a light, they're the ne'er lokim upon the aretz. They are the ne'er of Hashem upon the aretz. In other words, when we have the Torah with us, and we conduct ourselves according to the Torah, the Torah is a flame that it, yeah, that came on that as it would kaviyachol is separate from the one who sits in the heaven, i.e. the Rebbe Shalom. The Adam b'shnei chalakav avuka sho'eves oro, and the person, right, the person is like a wick. There's the flame, what he called the Torah is like the flame that comes from a shamayim, and the Torah and the person in his two chalakim. Yeah, in his two parts, i.e. in his guf and in his neshama, his nefesh, are like a wick wound together. Gevo psila, right? Nifteles. Nishmaso shemen zayis zach. You hear this? So his guf is like the wick, and his neshama is like the shemen zayis. His guf is like the wick, and his neshama is like the shemen zayis, and the flame is from shamayim. The flame is from shamayim. Ubatskamosam vitzamdam yismale abayas kulo ora, and as they function together, in other words, as the guf functions together with the neshama to form the psila, the wick, along with the oil, then the fire from above, which is the Torah, right? Right, the fire from above, which is the Torah, lights the wick, and now you have, as before, you've got a candle that illuminates the aretz. Okay, the amram kol adam zochel Hashem nazach hamuchan lahadlik bo or eloki lahir or b'mikdashu kibiyos Hashem ochur maleshmarim. Not everybody, as it were, is zocher that his shemen is without what do they call lees. Yeah, without the leases in wine, without impurities. Rotalomar shenishmaso lohu tara velohu chana ela or hatorah v'ziva shina. Person hasn't cleansed himself.
When
we conduct yourself with bad mitos, when we don't do the mitzvahs properly, etc. So we've piled in a lot of impurities, and this is our soul to begin with is pure. As we say it every day, el kai nishamar shana sata b'torahi. But for Maisa, we don't define necessarily our soul, but the other aspect of our soul system, our ruach, our nefesh, etc., we do make them impure, and so forth. We're not proper oil. Excuse me, to give off a clean, pure light. Obios apsilim and apsilo shein madlikin behem. So that is the goof. We do bad things with our goof, etc. And so therefore it doesn't become a proper wick. Or let's say in terms of the coin can't have a mum. He can't have a mum. Otherwise now he can't perform the service. That's not his fault, but that's the reality. That person's light, as it were, can't shine. It dims.
When he has a mum?
Let's talk about in terms of the oil. Because the other thing is not his doing, that's min hashamayim, but what he called the word in terms of his conduct, so he puts impurities into his oil. Levada nefesh amuchanes lekabel haTorah vaChochma hi amivia el mikdash Hashem in zayizach. כי השם יאיר נרו על ראשו, כמו שכוסוב, כי את התואר נרי. ובאשר ציו המקדוש, היה כאילו שם הסעכתו כל ישראל, like he said, like the Malbim said, last week's parsha in Shuma, that the structure of the Mishkan was like the structure of a grand person. Remember we talked about in the Kodesh Kodoshim, is the seat, as the Malbim chose to show it, like the seat of the intellect, the seat of what he called the Neshama, the Kodesh, the Heichal, right? It was the seat of the thoracic section with the lungs, right, and the heart. And then the chotzer, the courtyard, was the symbol of the gastrointestinal tract with the mizbeach hanachoshes there, etc. So all of the mishkan, as it were, all of the mishkan is like the form of a great person. It symbolizes the collective nature of all the Jewish people. Yisachtu kol Yisrael ki ish echad. Right? As I wrote in Mirim Zeh Mishkan, the whole inyane and mikdash of Adoso, Hayla Hashkin She Asham or Hashem Ushkhnaso Vizaro, Shkhia Zaro. And the whole purpose of the mikdash and Savoda was that we were to cause Hashem's Shkhina, the Or Hashem, the Or from above, to rest upon it.
That's the oil?
No, the oil is our souls. Yeah. The Tziva Elaguf HaKlali, and therefore, right, the Tzibu over here, the Pasuk says, V'atak Tzavel B'nei Yisrael, you shall command the Jewish people, V'yikhu, and all of them, Elecha, should bring to you, Moshe, they should bring to you the oil, Shemen Zayzach Kosisim Or, they should bring to you the oil, so the collective body of the Jewish people, all the Jewish people should bring the oil, right, Sheyaviu El Moshe, they should bring to Moshe, Shemen Zayzach, Shehu, Yitair Nishmasam Ukdushasa Shiye Muchan Lamor. They should bring oil, they should contribute oil to the Mishkan, in where they're all collected together in the form of the Mishkan. They should bring it to Moshe.
Everybody should donate oil?
There's a donate what you could take what you call you they should bring what it should bring the oil for that's necessary. The Arvim so is Moshe. And now they bring
oil in the desert.
Okay, well ignore that. The Arvim so is Moshe. Right? I guess so. Vazem Sus Moshe, Shu Horid as a Torah, and now they give it to Moshe. Moshe is the one who brought the Torah down, what he called, to the earth. Horid as a Torah, or Elohim La'aretz, he brought the light. Remember, the whole purpose is that man, right, as he takes his guf, which is like the wick, and he takes his soul, which is like the shemen, right? Like the Shemin. And now the light, the fire from above is the Torah. And when the fire from above, which is the Torah, lights the, what we call the wick, which brings up the Shemin, so then you have light upon the earth. Right? Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. That the light of on the earth, is from the before the Boreshom, is the using the Neshama of Adam. For Oil Elokim La'aretz Ya'aleh Sa Menorah, She klal nishmas Yisrael, so now the menorah, as it were, should rise upward with the light, right? With the light of the oil that was collected from all the Jewish people. Yeah, lahalos ner tamid. Before she'or azeh ba min haTorah nesuna be'aron abris, and the oil and the menorah, as he says, is lit outside the parochus, which covers the aron abris where the luchos are. V'shemisham yaruch lanerus lefnei Hashem tamid. So here the story. The shemen is brought first. Why? Because what's happening over here? Moshe Rabbeinu, what do we want over here? We built the Mishkan. The Mishkan is in the tzura of a grand Adam. It's the collective, all people, the collection of all the Jewish people. Now, we're going to have a Mesharis. We're going to have someone, as it were, who's going to be purified in his midos and his conduct, who's going to be working on our behalf. He's going to be our shliach, whether he's the shliach directly of the Jewish people, or the shliach of the Torah, whatever his formal shliach is. But he's certainly working on our behalf.
The coin.
The coin, right? The coin. Godel, the coin, yeah, right? Inside the Mishkan. We gather together our oil. Our oil, we're contributing. In other words, Kilo, that's going to be representative of our pure, our souls, a symbolic pure soul brought to what he called to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of
the shliach, the coin brings the oil to Moshe.
No, not the coin. The people are bringing the oil. completely being the word. The goof, the goof is going to represent everybody who's going to do the action. That's going to be Aram. That's going to be Aram. Right? The oil, it's all our collective, what do you call that, like you said before, the oil is representative of the soul. So the Jewish people gather together, they bring their soul that's going to be put upon what do you call it's going to serve the purposes of the, what do you call it, of the Kohen, who's going to be like the goof. And he lights the menorah. The menorah, like we said, menorah is a symbol. It's a symbol of the light rising upwards from the Aretz, upwards toward Shamayim. The light. Right? Because that's what the purpose is. The purpose is that the light should come from us. The light should come from us. Like we said before from the Netziv, that the menorah is the symbol of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Chlal. And that's outside the parochas, which covers the Aron, in which there are the luchos, the Torah min Shamayim that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down. That's the fire from above. So you take the fire from above, and that's what the Pesukim say. The Aron is there, on the other side is the parochas, on the other side of the parochas is the menorah. We take the oil, and we're going to use it to light.
The flame, though, is here on earth.
Flame
is coming down from Moshe.
Flame comes down, and you use it to light the oil and the wick that's here on earth. The wick being the body. Who is the representative body? The Kohen Gadol.
Oh, so Moshe brought down the Torah.
Right, he brought down the fire. And now they give it to light the menorah. Spectacular. And that continues in the next thing. Ataha kravei lecha. What does it say in Pasuk? Pasuk Aleph. That's the third pasuk in a parsha. Ataha kravei lecha Aron achicha v'zbona vito mitoch bnei Yisrael lecha noli Aron nadav avila lozav v'isama bnei Aharon. So then you gather together Aron and his sons. They are going to be gathered together, right? Mitoch bnei Yisrael, out of all the Jewish people, they're going to be the example par excellence. They're going to be the representative of the Jewish people. So then says the Malbim. One person is going to be the agent of the Jewish people. He says Mtsai, right? Mtsai, intermediary, as it were, because the question is he an agent of the Torah? Is he our agent? Whatever, he's the intermediary.
The Kohen.
He's going to be one of those who's going to carry our interests. He's going to be our representative as he walks into the Heichal, into the sanctuary of Hashem. Ushliach ha'am kulo b'avodas Hashem v'ora. He's going to be the messenger, the emissary of the people in service of Hashem and in instruction. Yeah. Great. He also paskins the shilas. It said to them, "Umatzas Aaron muchan mitzad skulas nafsho." Aaron was such an incredible person, right? Aaron Hakohen. He's like Hillazaki says about him, "Heavy mitalmidim shal Aaron Hakohen." Oiv shalom, rodev shalom. Oiv is a brias v'karvin l'tor. He's a pure person. Aaron skulas nafsho lahamal agdola zos hu v'zal acharav kichol nefashos lo heina ubiyado peles. Ubiado Peles and Mosne Mishko Ladas Tokhen Kol Nefesh Umalasa. Ma'at, the writer, because Boku knows exactly which soul is the right one to carry this. To carry the agent of the Jewish people. And he chose Aaron. Ma'at, ye Aaron, him, Tsoy, bin Hashem, bin Amu, etc. The Halos, Avoda, Varech, Nichoach, Ha'olum, Avoda, Hashem, Lamatel, Mala, etc. Kosha Moshe, I am Tsoy, the holiness, a Torah, Milmala, Lamata. Just like Moshe brought down the Torah. From above, down below, milamala lamata, right? Right? Milamala lamata, right? We brought down the Torah. Aaron is going to bring up the light, milamata lamala. Fascinating, isn't it fascinating? Vizay Yikov, El Moshe, Vyamod, Imo Beshoven, and that way he stands on together with Moshe. Lachain Amar Vataha, crave a lecha es Aaron achichav es bonav. And now you should bring Aaron and your brother and his children close. Aaron is a unique level unto himself. Okay, fine. But the idea being is that the introduction to the big day kahuna, Aaron is the one who becomes the representative, the agent of the Jewish people. The Torah comes down, right, from Shemayim, like the Eish, on the other side of the parochus is lit the menorah from which you're going to gather all the oil. You're going to gather oil from the Jewish people. They're giving over, as it were, their collective soul to Aaron.
Oh, the oil of the collective soul.
The soul, right? Well, that's what brought from the people and given to Moshe. Moshe in turn puts it on Aaron. Aaron now is going to be the Ove, the one who, through his conduct, he is going to take all of the service of the Jewish people and lift it upwards, just as the Torah comes from Shemayim and comes downward, so too the Avodah comes from here upon earth and goes upward. Goes upward, and that's the introduction to the Big Day Kahuna. That's the introduction of the Big Day Kahuna. Okay, so now let's take a look. Ve'ela begodim asher yasu choshen ve'efod me'il ksonis tashbeitz mitznefes vavneit. That's in, right. What's here? It's on the daf, and it's also perkoches pasak dalit. These are the begodim that you should do: the choshen, the efod, the me'il. The Ksonis Tashbeitz.
What was that?
The long undershirt keel underneath. Yeah. The Mitznefes, the hat, the Avnet, the belt. But also Big Day Kodesh, Aaron, Achicha, Levanov, Lechan, Olin. You should make Big Day Kodesh, yeah, for Aaron, for what you call your brother, and for his sons, in order to serve me, Lechan, Olin. Now, the first thing we're focusing on here is this Kliyakar, right? In Pasuk Vav, what does it say? It says, "V'asu es ha'efod zahav tchelis v'agamon tola shani v'sheish mazdar masei choshev." So, in the instructions in pasuk Dalet, right that we just read, these are the begadim that you will make. First, it says choshen, and then it says efod. But when we get down to the nitty gritty, the choshen was what you call was the breastplate here, right? Choshen.
This?
No, this is the choshen.
Well, the whole thing.
This whole thing is the choshen. The ephod. The ephod.
Part of the choshen.
Oh no! So here's the what do you call it? Here's the ephod, and the different versions of the ephod. Upon the ephod was put the choshen. Is attached to the shoulder straps over there.
The choshen was the ephod.
The website.
Upon the choshen was the ephod.
The choshen you put on the ephod.
Yeah.
Right. You put on the ephod. Right. Again, the different versions of how exactly look. Right, look, it's some form of apron.
Apron.
The ephod, and the choshen in turn was put upon it, attached to it. It wasn't supposed to come off of it. Right. So the Kliyakar says. He says in the general description, right? We mentioned the choshen first, and then afterwards the ephod. And yet, when it comes right about making him, so first thing that's discussed is the ephod, and then afterwards the choshen. Okay, so the different answers to this question, but the Kliyakar has a very fascinating answer. He says, "Guys, can he use a choshen kodem le'efod?" The achakach, the pirton, right? As we come down to doing these specific kalim, so the ephod is discussed first. Another kasha, vod kasha, in the second line there. In all of them, it says va'asisa, you shall do, you shall make. But with regard to the ephod, it says va'asu, right? Va'asu, and it says in the plural, right?
So therefore, what?
That's a question, right? If by all the other kalim it says v'asisa and you shall do in the singular, why is it by the ephod it says v'asu, right? V'asu and they shall do. They shall do. So again, the different answers to the question, but look what he says of him. Right? Lufimash yizbar, in the third line there in the middle. Lufimash yizbar b'samuch v'maisa ephod shibola kapara al avodazara. Dahino ha'al ha'egil sh'osu. Shigoram Shviras Aluchos. The ephod is coming to be mechaper on a avodah zarah. The ephod was a beged. We find that the ephod was found non holy ephods also. And with regard to Pesel Micha, in the Tanakh, right? The Kohen, you know, the one who was in the Sharis, who was serving Pesel Micha, also wore an ephod. He had an ephod. An ephod. An ephod is a beged of Sherus, of service, like an apron.
Had it
too. So what do you call it? The idea being, in other words, when you wore this type of baguette, you showed you were in a state of service vis-a-vis, right? If it's the Eifar HaKadosh, Everybody calls it, it's vis-a-vis the Rabbanu Shalom. If God forbid, it's Avodah Zarah, so you're going to Avodah Zarah for that. So the Eifod is meant to be a Mechaper for Avodah Zarah. For Avodah Zarah. Interesting. To be a Mechaper for Avodah Zarah. Mechaper for Avodah Zarah. And you would think, yeah. Chaper for Avodah Zarah.
It wasn't worn all the time by the Kohen?
What do you mean?
The Eifod was worn like, all the time?
No, only when it was in doing the Avodah in the Mikdash.
But people were able to go ask questions about and the Eifod answered.
No, that was the Urim V'Tumim. And it was inside, you see here? See, there's a fold here.
Yeah.
So that, inside that, when you would fold it over, fold it over, so then there would be inside names of Hashem. Right. And then you could ask questions of the only person who was shaykh to the tzibur, only person who had a connection with the, like at the melech or the sar tzava, only a person of that nature, he would ask questions of the coin, and the stones would light up, the lettering on the stones would light up, giving an answer.
But if he didn't wear it all the time, that means if someone had a question, they
had to go to the base of Mikdash. Yeah, well, sure. Right. Right. When he was in, well, he was, if he was inside the Mikdash, he was probably wearing the Gadim. When he left the Mikdash, he had to take them off.
And only one person had that stuff. That was only the Kohen Gadol.
Only Kohen Gadol wore. Then it's what he called the Michnasayim, the pants, the Ksones, right, the long undershirt, the what he called the Avnate, the belt, and the Megabas and the hat were worn by all the Kohanim, though they may have looked a little bit different from the Kohen editor Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had another four begotten, and those were the what do you call it, the Eifod, the Choshen, or the Be'il, the Eifod, the Choshen, right, and the Tzitz. He had four more things. Right? Okay. Says the Lufimash, he's more of a Samuk, when I say Eifod, Shibbolah, Chapol, Abu Zorah, how on the Egel, it's coming to Mechap on the Egel, so that causes the breakage of the two Luchos. And that's why Moshe, what he called, now that Moshe carried down, he brought down the Luchos, right? So now the Eifod has two shoulder straps, Seifos Chavros, to show that, what he called, these are, as it were, coming to you with Chaper on the two Luchos that were broken because of Avodah Zarah. Right? And the reason why it says va'asu, it says in the plural, is because just like the collective people, unfortunately, were involved in the making of the egel, so too also those who are coming to be mechaper on the egel, it has to be all the Jewish people. Therefore, with regard to the making of the eifod, it says va'asu in the plural. Just like by the aron, it says va'asu. Why? Because the aron also, all the Jewish people have to get together and build the aron, a repository for the Torah. So to also, when we're coming to make the kli that's talking, that's there to be mechaper, to cleanse away the sin, the collective sin of the egel, it requires v'asu. That they should, it's written in the plural.
I understand that.
He asked the question, why does it say in the plural with regard to the eifod?
Right.
Because since it's coming to cleanse away the sin of the egel, of the Avodah Zarah, and that was done collectively by a lot of people. So therefore, we write for us, we write in plural also in terms of the making of the eifod. The Kliyaka says, I'll synopsize, the Kliyaka says that the reason, right, the reason why in practice, the Choshen, right, the Choshen was made first. You say the Choshen is coming to be a chaper, coming to cleanse, like kilkul hadinim, abuse of justice. And it's coming to show us that the abuse of justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpidan, even more than Avodah Zarah. Like we know from the Dor HaMabul, that even though they were over on Gil Arayis, on, what do you call it, on Avodah Zarah, but their Gzardin was put into effect because of Hamas, because of
violence,
right? We call stealing people's money, etc. So therefore, it shows. So even though the Eifod, right, which is that's the foundation of everything, we have to be a chaper to cleanse away the Avodah Zarah from our midst. But to show that Hashem is more makpid, he's more what we call more as it were out of sorts, if you use that terminology. Yeah, from evil sadin, from the abuse of justice, from brutalization one person to the other, etc. So therefore the Choshen was made first. Might be asked, why is it Eifod is the most primary thing, because the Eifod is being mechaper, cleansing us from Avodah Zarah, but to show that which puts into effect, that's what actualizes a negative Gzardin, right? When our case has been decided, and it's good, and the justice, terrible justice is going to be, God forbid, is going to take place. The straw that breaks the camel's back is the Ivus Adin, is the twisting of justice. Therefore, the Choshen is made first. In the Dor HaMabul, for instance, right? They were over on Gila Reyes,
right.
They were over on Avodah Zarah, but Chazal darshan out there in the Psukim, right, that the Gzardin was Nechtam and Chomas. So therefore, when we're constructing here, we're constructing the perfect person, the perfect kapara, etc., 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 all the story of the 9 yards, what does it tell us? Even though the first kli that's discussed as being, part of the all the big tikkun is the Eifod, but in practice, what was made first? The Choshen was made first. The Choshen is made first, because the Choshen is representative of cleansing, of evil sadin, of the twisting of justice. In addition, the Kliyakar says that why is it that that specifically with regard to the Eifod, it says the Eifod and the Choshen, it says it's Maaseh Choshev. In other words, take a look at I reversed it before, I'm sorry. In the Tzivui it says Choshen first. In the Asiya, the Eifod was first. I reversed it, I'm sorry. In the Tzivui it says Choshen first, because to show how important what he calls the Choshen is. Even though in Maisa they have to start with the Eifod. You start with the Eifod because the Eifod is the fundamental. That's what he calls it. That's to counteract the Avodah Zarah. But in the Tzivui, right? Right, when Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling, right, he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu what you should do. The first thing he says is what he called the Choshen.
The Tzivui was Choshen first.
Right.
Reality, the Eifod was more important.
Right. You know what it's like. Kliyakar says, it's like remember when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells at the end what he called there in Sefer Bamidbar, he tells the Jewish people go and take the Nekama. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go and take the nekama of the Jewish people from the Midianim.
Revenge.
Revenge, with the Midianim, they caused us to sin, etc. Right, with the Benos Moab, the whole story, Bilam. So he says, take the vengeance of the Jewish people. Be no game the nekama of Bnei Yisrael from the Midianim. When Moshe Rabbeinu gives the tzivui over to the Jewish people, he says, be no game the nekama of Hashem, not the nekama of Bnei Yisrael. Because everybody's got their priorities. Hashem, when he speaks, He speaks about his concern for us, his love for us. Take vengeance of what they did to my people. When Moshe Rabbeinu communicates it to the Jewish people, he says, take the vengeance of Hashem. Right? Now everybody's got to hear a different story from a different vantage point.
But has that to do with the
equal? So too also over here,
yeah.
Hashem says in the Tzivui to Moshe, he do the Choshen first. That they should straighten out the act in amongst themselves, right? Because there shouldn't be any, what we call a brutality, there shouldn't be any abuse, there shouldn't be any judicial abuse amongst them. But Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells them actually to do it. The first thing you gotta think of is the Eifod, the Avodah Zarah. Right? Okay. What? For what do we have to say that?
I can't grasp that.
If
the Tzivui was the Choshen first,
The Tzibi is the Choshen first, because Hashem is saying, what he quote, cleanse my people first. If I cleanse my people first, they should be good to each other. There shouldn't be a judicial abuse. There shouldn't be evils of din. There shouldn't be twisting of justice.
And then Yifo stands for Kavar and Vodazor.
Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu told what he called the people, actually, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Make the big day kuna.
Yeah.
So he says, make the ephod first, because the ephod is what he calls our betrayal of the Rabbon Shalom. We have to cleanse that away.
Uh-huh.
Hashem says, first cleanse your betrayal of yourselves. Moshe tells the Jewish people, let's cleanse first our betrayal of Hashem. You get it? Okay. The Chiyaka also points out that we talk about both the eightfold. We say it's meant to be maasei choshev. Vasuas the eightfold zav tchilas agamon t'lashanim maasei choshev, and even the belt of the eightfold is called the cheshev afudaso. Cheshev afudaso. It's a funny term. That's the belt. Cheshev. Cheshev, and right. Also in the Choshen, it says Maasei Choshev. It doesn't say that by the other begadim, right? Maasei Choshev, Maasei Choshev. Why? He says because both of these things are in the realm of Machshava. Avodah Zarah, the Iker sin of Avodah Zarah, right? The Iker sin of Avodah Zarah is in the Machshava, in your thoughts. So therefore, the terminology Maasei Choshev, really the Targum says Maasei Choshev is the workings of a craftsman, right? But after by these begadim, it says Maasei Choshev because both with regard to Avodah Zarah and also in the workings of justice in the heart of the Dayan, right? The Dayan, it's all in the Machshava. All in the Machshava. So therefore, by both of these kalim, they are imbued with the capacity to cleanse the area of Machshava. Of Machshava. In Avodah Zarah, the Machshava needs to be cleansed, and in the abuse of Din, right, the Machshava has to be cleansed.
How are we abusing Din?
This is when the judge doesn't judge properly. Either he's what he calls, whether on purpose or because he's biased for some reason, he doesn't even realize he's doing what he calls something that's wrong. So that's all Maasei Choshev. Maasei Choshev. Okay.
When are bad judgments exercised?
Bad judgment in terms of judging a case. I'm not talking about judgment in terms of your personal life. I'm talking about in terms of judgment.
Judges?
Yeah, judges. Guy is really caught. He's prejudiced for one reason or another. He may not even touch with the fact that he's prejudiced. Right? And he gives off an incorrect din Torah. Okay, let's just discuss the Me'il a little bit. Right? The Me'il and Pasuk Lamed Hey. These are the begadim. Right? The Choshen, the Eifod, right? And, right, the Me'il. So that starts in Shlishi in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Me'il was made out of pure Techeles. The whole Begit is Techeles.
What's your picture of that one? That's
the Me'il. It's not colored.
Is it an undershirt or an overshirt?
No, that's over.
Overshirt.
I mean, it was really cool. Let's put it this way. It was underneath the ephod. It was underneath the ephod. In other words, the Ksonis was on his body, right? And then he's got the Me'il. On the Me'il is the Ephod, and the Choshen is upon the, what he called upon the Ephod. Okay, the Me'il, right? And you've got it in between over here, the way you have it over here. I mean, there's a discussion exactly how did this work. They've got bells and pomegranates, right? Some say that the, what he called the Machlokes Rishonim, were there, bells and then pomegranates? And then bell, pomegranate, or where would he call, were there bells and what he called and inside what he called the people, the bells or the pomegranates, inside the pomegranates are the bells, right, etc. Here you see there what he called it's bells and pomegranates. Look closely, see on the bottom, bell pomegranate, bell pomegranate, bell pomegranate.
Alternating.
Right.
How many were there?
72 altogether. 36 on each side.
Was that on each side?
36.
36
on each side, 72 altogether. So now, the
you can't call it side, front and back.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Okay. So now look in Pasuk Lamed Hey. In Pasuk Lamed Hey, let's read the Pesukim from Shlishi. Basis is a Me'il Ha'ifod Kliel Techeles. It's made to be the Me'il Ha'ifod. Notice it's called the Me'il Ha'ifod. The Me'il Ha'ifod. Isn't that interesting? The bottom garment is called, you call that the bottom garment of the upper garment. The Me'il Ha'ifod. It's a funny thing.
It's the top garment.
What?
Actually, it's the top garment.
Well, but I'm saying, but the apron was on top of it. The meal, yeah, right? The apron was on top of it, and the kosher was on top of the. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I would dare say that it's an interesting thing because the meal is coming to Mechaper on Lashon Hara. On Lashon Hara. The kosher, we said, was Mechaper on Ivus Adin. Right? The Eifor is Mechaper on Avodah Zarah. So the. It's called the Me'il HaEifod. It helps us, the word, qualify the Eifod. Right? The Me'il HaEifod. It's the Me'il of the Eifod. It's the Me'il of the Eifod. And on the other hand, we call it the Choshen was always on the Eifod. It's never meant to leave it. The Choshen is Mechaper on twisting of justice. The Me'il on the bottom is really what is meant to be Mechaper on Lashon Hara. And in the middle is the Eifod to be Mechaper on Avodah Zarah. You get the feeling over here is that what makes the Kapara of Avodah Zarah, what makes the Kapara of Avodah Zarah, the cleansing of Avodah Zarah, is when a person's, as it were, his conduct is purified not only vis-a-vis his deity, but also vis-a-vis his fellow man, right? Me'il on one side, Choshen on the other side, Eifod in the middle. Choshen is Mechaper on Dinim, Me'il is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and the Eifod is Mechaper on Avodah Zarah in the middle. That shows that it really is a cleansing of Avodah Zarah, because the world of the Avodah Zarah is totally egocentric. He's only entered for himself. Like we've talked about before, that all the service of the medrash we mentioned, many times, the medrash that contrasts the dream of Yaakov with the dream of Paro. In Paro's dream, Paro is all made aliyor. He stands above the Nile, right? Mm-hmm. The Nile's his deity, but he stands above. In Yaakov's dream, Hashem is nitzavalav. Hashem is above him. So the medrash, look at the difference between the tzaddikim and the rishayim. The tzaddikim elokeim omed aleihem, their God is above them, and the rishayim heimum doel aleihem. They stand above their gods. Because the essential worldview of the Avodah Zarah is manipulative to get for me. What I want out of it. What I want out of that. In other words, I'm willing to serve this deity, whoever he is, if he'll give me in the end what I want. It's always egocentric. It's just it's a manipulative process through which I'll get what I want. The Avodah Hashem, right, is aspiring that everybody goes, I'm not doing what I want. I'm doing what Hashem is going to direct me to do. He's nitzav on me. So I'm saying it's such an interesting thing that you find that the Me'il on the one side and the Choshen on the other side, they sandwich the Eifod. That shows the cleansing quality of getting rid of Avodah Zarah from the Eifod, because it not only is the person's commitment, dedication, submission to his Creator only upstairs, but would call breath-wise as well. Breath-wise as well, vis-a-vis his fellow man. And that shows it's really pure in his connection with his Creator. And then, like the Maral says, the two luchos, one talks about how you relate to the Elohim, one tells you how you relate to the Tselem Elohim, right? But the idea being that if there's no connection, if there's no tikkun, if there's no correction of your relationship also with Tselem Elohim, it shows there's a flaw in your relationship with Elohim. Because you haven't uprooted your egocentric view of the world. Because otherwise, why can't you deal with the people in this direction? It shows you still it's all about you. That's for sure is true. Again, I'm not saying one is better than the other. It's just that if it doesn't find expression, if it doesn't find expression laterally vis-a-vis your fellow man, then it shows that your connection to your Creator is flawed. Because you can't work out the egocentricity.
And that's done with the choshen being in the middle?
No, with the ephod being in the middle.
Ephod.
Yeah, because what he calls the choshen is on top of the ephod, and the meal is underneath the ephod. And plus the choshen is never allowed to leave the ephod, you're allowed to take it off. And what do you call it? And the meal is called the meal ephod. What do you call the meal ephod? If the ephod is something like a belt, as it were, around the meal, so you would call the ephod a meal. It's binding the meal. No, it's called the meal ephod, because the meal is what defines the ephod. At any event, so the Buddha called the meal is coming in mechaper on lashon hara. But the pasuk says in pasuk lamed hay, it says v'haya al aron l'shares. It should be upon aron l'shares to serve Hashem, right? V'nishma kolo, and you'll hear his voice v'voil a kodesh. When he comes to the kodesh lifnei Hashem, before Hashem uvitzei so, and when he leaves v'loy amus. So this pasuk is a strange pasuk. Which coal are we talking about? Which coal? Mm-hmm. Whose coal? Mm-hmm. So, Rashi doesn't even mention what the coal is. Who's kolo? I mean, the Al-Sheikh learns that the kolo, right, others also learn, right, the kolo is Aaron's coal. In other words,
yeah,
when so now that's the idea. In other words, if Aaron, the meal, we're talking the meal is mechaper on lashon hara.
Right.
If, what do you call it, the meal is mechaper on lashon hara, it's got a double folded over collar here on the top. Can't tear. And that's to remind a person, it's doubled over, full door, so tear, just like Chazal say, that a person's tongue is behind two barriers, his teeth and his lips. It shouldn't be so quick to come out. Don't tear open the opening so easily, etc. The me'il itself is tcheles. Tcheles, the Netziv teaches us in Parsha Shlach, is always meant to show, right, that we always have to think of the tachlis. The tachlis, which is the goal, right? Because tchelis is similar to the sea, which is similar to the heavens, which is similar to the kisek avod. So you've got this beged, which represents, as it were, speech.
The meal.
Double folded over on the top. Don't let your tongue wag outside too quickly. The beged is all made out of tchelis. Right? The tachlis. And then as it were, it's on the bottom are the pamonim v'rimonim.
Where's the tchelos at? Inside the thread?
The whole thing is made out of tchelos. Uh-huh. Right? Thread, what do you call it? Tchelos, what do you call it? All tchelos. And then the pamonim and the rimonim. The bells and the rimonim and the pomegranates. Pomegranates. So they, you know, I don't know. There's lots of discussion. You know what the pomonim and the rimonim are. But clearly, they all talk about the idea of speech, right? The idea of speech. First of all, I mean, what it says is that it announces his coming into the Mishkan, right? Because you hear the bells, as it were, coming in. He comes in only with permission. This is a whole discussion. But I dare say, this is a very interesting thing that's being said over here. It says, V'haya al Aaron, the meal should be upon Aaron, the Shares, to when he serves. V'nishma kolo, and then his voice will be heard. Aaron's, when he goes into the Heichal, when he goes into the Mishkan, and he davens to the Jewish people, his voice will be heard. Why? Because he's wearing the me'il. Why? Because he's been watching his tongue. And how could you expect, as it were, your tefillahs to be answered if you sully the vehicle of your tefillahs with lashon hara? If you sully the what do you call, you want to pour wine, yeah, from a decanter, but the mouth of the decanter is covered with grease, with axle grease, right? So what does it help you that you're pouring the finest wine? You could have paid 250 shekels a bottle, right? I'm not saying it's the finest wine, but okay for us, but that's beyond our whatever. Yeah, 250 shekels a bottle of wine, but you pour it out from a decanter with the mouth of the decanter is covered with axle grease. You can't expect a lot in the taste. So he says the same thing also over here. The Nishma Kolo, why? Because he's wearing his beged, which is coming to Mechaper, coming to cleanse on Lashon Hara, to keep him clean from Lashon Hara. Nishma Kolo Bevoel HaKodesh? When he goes into the Kodesh, his tefillahs, as it were, yeah, will be heard. Lefnei Hashem, Ubitseiso, and when he comes out, Velo Yamus. What do you mean, Ubitseiso? Why Ubitseiso? Why Ubitseiso?
Wait,
careful. What? When you leave. But when you come in, he's going to pray. When he's leaving, what he calls these times, he's not going to pray when he's leaving. He prayed when he was inside. So I dare say, that the idea is, we say, right, the Gemara tells us, we'll finish off, the Gemara tells us that we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, Yulu Ratzon Imrefi Ve'Gyon Libi Lefanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. Yeah? So in Brachas, on Daf Tes, the Gemara asked the question, you could have said Yulu Ratzon Imrefi before Shemoneh Esrei, or after Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, what does it mean? May my words, may the sayings of my mouth be L'Ratzon, may they be in favor, in sync with your will, Hashem. Right? That Yoli be, and the expressions of my heart should be before you. You could say that before Shemoneh Esrei also. It would make sense to say it before then. Right? It wouldn't make sense to say it before, just as much as sense afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So
what does it say before?
It's very cool. There's something to be gleaned before and afterwards. To say it before, it's an inspiration to daven properly. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? It's just like Hashem says, like Tifach also. To say it afterwards. What does it mean afterwards? So, we recall Rav Kook says, he says, because since the goal of tefillah is to transform us, so that our conduct, right, our conduct will be different after we've davened. It's not just to enter into an enclave of connection with Hashem and then finish to goodbye and good luck. Yeah, so long, Charlie. The idea is to enter into that enclave of connection and to be a transformed person afterwards. So, by the Gemara
saying we should say it before.
No, that's why you say it afterwards, because what you want to do is you want the reverberations of the rubric of what I said, and those things that are in my heart, they should continue with me after I leave Shemoneh Esrei. They said, after I leave Shemoneh Esrei, I should be tied to them like with a tether. Right? To those words and those concepts, those feelings, that perception of life should continue with me after I've left Shemoneh Esrei. So I dare say that's also what's being said over here. V'hayal Aaron l'sharis v'nishma kol b'voel haKodesh l'fnei Hashem u'mitzeiso. Right? His voice should always be heard, whether it's in the state of prayer or when after he leaves the Mishkan. His voice should be heard in the same way, and that way he will be an example par excellence. Right? He'll be an example par excellence for the Jewish people to follow. His prayers, of course, be accepted, but also he will be a symbol of what a person is meant to be. Loyamus, right? Because the truth is, a person, right, who's of high, you know, of a very lofty bearing, and yet his conduct is not that so beseder, it's a chil Hashem, right? We know the only thing that cleanses away chil Hashem is what is Misa. Okay, so Bezer Hashem, we should cleanse our Midos and our Deos, and we should have a really great Purim.
Oh, man.
And next year, Shabbos, I won't be here, Blinar. I mean, Blinar. Things go the way that PS should be far away. Okay.
Everyone appalled.